Everybody bleeds. A little jelly roll there. That song, it strikes a chord. You know, despite all of our differences here, our wealth, our status, the choices we've made, we all face the same fundamental challenges. Pain, hurt, emptiness, loss. You know, there's a common vulnerability for us that I think binds us together. Those mountains high, but the valleys low. Everybody bleeds. You know, we're continuing our series, Jelly and Jam, and we're jamming out to some jelly roll, and we're talking about what to do when you get in a jam. You know, looking at how to face the challenges of life. I believe by the grace of God that it's possible, despite the hurt, despite the pain and brokenness, disillusionment, that it's possible to overcome the challenges. That victory's possible because of the hope and peace and love and grace and the power of God. And I bet some of you have issues. I know some of you. You do have issues. You got problems. You know, some of you have things that are going on, things that you cannot solve and you can't fix. In fact, some of you came here today and you got a knot in your stomach. You're worried and afraid. You're struggling. I want to suggest you're bleeding. You know, some of you really identified with the song they just sang. It spoke to some of the pain, some of the hurt. And I think that's the power of music to speak to our soul. And that's why it's so important to worship. You know, some of you, when the music started at the beginning and you started singing and worshiping or just hearing it as you're happened, your thoughts kind of focused on God, and there's something that changes in your heart. You know, for instance, that first song, all things are possible. You know, as you sang those words, you know, when I'm weak, you make me strong. You know, when I'm poor, I know that I'm rich. For in the power of your name, all things are possible. As you sang that, something happened inside. You started thinking that there's hope. You know, started thinking that God has the power to deal with my situation, that God can deliver me from that. You know, Paul, he would write very similar words from prison when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those words are full of hope. That the God that delivered Daniel from the lion's den, the God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire, that he can deliver you. He can deliver me. You know, with God, deliverance is possible. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but there's hope. You know, when you worship, friends, something happens. And your heart gets filled with a little bit of joy and hope. You know, when you worship, you're reminded about what you have, about what God's done in your life. You know, it fills you with confidence and hope because you're reminded God is able. You know, Jesus said it this way. He said, humanly speaking, it is what? Impossible. But with God, everything is possible. When you refuse to worship, when you resist God, something else happens. You become anxious. You worry. Negativity begins to rule. You start envying what people have that you don't have. You become very self-absorbed, judgmental. You get discouraged easily. and you find yourself struggling to make it because you're bleeding. You're struggling. You know, there's a psalm that's written by Asaph, and Psalm 73 is really a clear picture of the power of worship. He's reflecting on all the chaos that he's living in. Can you identify with that? He's seeing people who have dismissed God. They're prospering. And so the psalmist complains. In fact, I would say he goes kind of ranting and raving for 14 verses. I'd encourage you to read the whole thing. We're not going to read that this morning. But that entire chapter, I mean, he just goes on. And here's just a sample of his complaint. He says, "For I envy the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else." Do you ever struggle with that, thinking that? It's a toxic mentality when you look at the world that way. And friends, if you don't reel that back in, well, watch out. There's some important truths I think you've got to understand. You do not always get what you deserve. And I know many people believe just the opposite. They believe, you know, bad things happen because we're bad, and good things happen because we're good. And you want to buy into that. Some of you have. Because it gives you a sense of control, doesn't it? But I will tell you, neither of those things are true. When good things happen, it's called grace. And when bad things happen, it's called life. We do not live in a perfect world. Things do not always have a happy ending. This isn't heaven. Not everything bad that happens to you is your fault. Doesn't negate the you reap what you sow, though. But some problems, some pain, some struggles, we do bring on ourselves. And some things, well, they just happen. And so you're going to face some hurt, you're going to face some pain that you don't bring on yourself. You have some losses. They're unexplainable. Song says, everybody don't get what they deserve. And sometimes that's a good thing. And sometimes it's a bad thing. So the psalmist is complaining. He realizes he's in trouble. He realizes his unhappiness is starting to wear on him. In fact, it's driving him to the brink of despair. He's confused. He's discouraged. He's very bitter. And he's unhappy. And he writes, he says, "So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is." In other words, he's exhausted thinking about it. He can't make sense out of what's happening in the world. He says, "Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction." It wasn't until he entered the sanctuary and started worshiping, even though he didn't feel like it, he was torqued. But it's when he surrendered in worship, started focusing on God, that his perspective, his thinking turned around. It changed. I mean, why is that? Friends, when you worship, your outlook changes. I mean, you realize there's more to life than the here and now. You understand that today's fame or portfolio or struggle or problem is not the final word in life. There's more to a person's existence than this life. In fact, everybody's one breath away from giving an account of their life to God, a God that created everything, a God that's powerful, a God that's just. Your outlook, it changes when you worship. Again, we live in a broken world. Would you agree? People believe in a lot of crazy stuff, pursuing superficial stuff. You know, it's why Faith Fellowship, we're so committed to reaching people who don't know God, you know, don't have a relationship with God. Because someone that doesn't have a relationship with God's in that slippery place. You know, it's a dangerous place. No matter what their status is or how much they have in this world, every day I am reminded of the reality of that. I mean, do you realize that your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers who don't know Jesus Christ, you know, do you realize the people that you love, the people you say you hate, they're in a slippery place? I mean, do you realize they are one heartbeat away from meeting a very holy God? See, friends, when you worship, it changes how you see things. It also, when you worship, it exposes your heart a little bit. You know, the psalmist says, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter. I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and arrogant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you." You know, I think I shared this a while back, but there's a guy I played basketball with for years, and he got a puppy. And it was a one-year-old bull mastiff. 1 year old, and it weighed 150 pounds. And he called her Daisy. And he tried various ways to contain that dog. It'd get excited, and it would literally go through anything. He had a privacy fence in his backyard. He lived near a main intersection. It just busted through the privacy fence. He finally installed an invisible fence, and he put the collar on it, and you know how those go. They beep, they warn you as you get closer and closer, and they get louder and louder, and it's to warn the dog that they're supposed to stop. Well, Daisy just ran faster. You know, he turned the shock collar up as high as it would go. She still broke through. And then one day she got hit. Car took her down. He had to take her to the vet, a lot of stitches and what have you. She got home the next day. Guess what she did? Same thing. She was stupid. She was a stupid dog. She didn't get it. And I think only a dog, right? Can't believe he just called me that. The psalmist says, "I was stupid like that." You know, worship helped me. It helped me realize my destructive path that I was on. You know, in worship, you also realize you're not alone. The psalmist, he's talking to God, having this conversation. He says this, he says, "Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand." You know, I'm not alone. You're beside me, God, leading me to a glorious destination. "Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He's mine forever. God keeps me from making stupid mistakes. God's with me. God's, you know, God's everything." You know, he goes on, he says, "Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. The psalmist finds a shelter, a safe place in the midst of the pain, the struggles. And if you read the psalm, you almost hear him saying, what if I hadn't gone to the sanctuary? What if I hadn't worshiped? You know, what if I hadn't realized God's presence in my life? If I hadn't realized that God is not only with me, but God's for me. See, worship is powerful, but worship's a choice. It's a life-changing decision that you make. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to argue myself into praise and worship. Sometimes I have to argue myself just to come to church, and I'm the pastor. And if I'm not careful, I'll travel down that same path that the psalmist traveled. You know, Paul, in a letter to the Corinthians, he writes a very profound thought. He says, we capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. Come in line with godly thinking. I mean, Paul's this wise psychologist. And he understands that the flow of our thoughts, our feelings, our perceptions are the things that guide us in life. You know, we capture every thought and we make it give up, come in line with God and obey Christ. It's why Paul is so devoted to being a lifelong worshiper. He wanted to saturate his life with the goodness and the presence of God. This world is broken. And there's a good chance something's going to happen in your life. And you will have to argue yourself into worshiping at some point. I mean, for instance, for some of you, you may get hurt. Someone may offend you. Probably will. You know, double cross you. And you start bleeding and hurting. And when that happens, where's your mind go in that moment? Again, I don't know about you, but my tendency, I focus on how bad they are. I vilify them in that moment. You know, I focus on their flaws, make sure everybody knows about them. You know, I start envying who they are, and I start wanting revenge. You do too. There's an account found in Acts 16, Paul and Silas. They're teaching and preaching and serving God. They're healing people, and they encounter this servant girl that is possessed with an evil spirit. And that evil spirit gave her the ability to see the future. And so she had become a fortune teller. You know, and they cast the evil spirit out of her. Now, you would think that everybody would be really excited, celebrating the fact that she's no longer possessed. But the guy that was exploiting her is upset. I mean, because he's lost this income source that he had. And so what he does is he incites a riot. And the crowd goes nuts and they're tearing everything up. And consequently, Paul and Silas get arrested. They're stripped, they're beaten, thrown in prison, put in chains. A jailer is ordered to watch over them, to guard them. And Scripture says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas, get ready, were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. They're watching them. Paul and Silas are bloodied. They've been beaten. They're in prison. And they're praying and worshiping God. Scripture says, suddenly there was a violent earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. You see this all the time in Scripture. You know, it's been my observation. It's been my experience. Worship is always associated with a great outpouring of God's power. You know, the jailer, he assumes that Paul and Silas have escaped. He knows he's going to be blamed. And in that day, you were executed if prisoners got loose. He's ready to kill himself. So what's Paul do? Paul goes, "That'll teach you to mess with us." That wasn't his response. Why not? Well, because he's been praying and worshiping. His heart's tender at this point. He's compassionate. That's what worship will do. And so Paul extends grace. He welcomes this man that's beaten him, that's held him in prison. He invites him to be a brother in Christ with him. Friends, when you get hurt, will you take those thoughts captive? Bring them in line with where God wants? I mean, will you enter the sanctuary? Will you worship in spite of the situation? Will you go to God and just ask for help with the situation? And I'll tell you this, decide right now. Decide before something happens. I mean, you may be hurting. You may be struggling with something. You may be disappointed. You may be bleeding today. But I'm telling you, there is hope. There's hope. There's hope because of God. You know, in the face of great turmoil, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, he writes this, Habakkuk 3. He says, "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop has failed and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty," you've got to remember that this is agricultural society. Everything hangs on the stuff, the crops, the animals. And here we go again. He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength." Even though there's no harvest, there's no herds, there's no financial assets, everything's gone. And incidentally, that stuff does not provide peace and joy and hope. He realizes this as he's worshiping. Only God can provide what he needs. He says, "He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." Disappointment comes. People will let you down. Financial markets will fluctuate. Careers go south. Things will happen, and you will find yourself bleeding and hurting and struggling. And friends, it's a simple question. What will you do in that moment? You need to worship. When you make that decision to worship, you will recognize, maybe not right away, but at some point you will recognize there is no situation that can separate you from God. When you're disappointed, you worship. When you're hurting, you worship. When you're struggling, you worship. And just one more thought here. You may be tempted to give up. You may be tempted to look for the easy way out. Lots of people do, try and escape. But when you enter the sanctuary and you worship, and I'm not just saying here, it may be in your car, maybe in the privacy of your home somewhere, but you worship God, it changes everything. Everything. You know, Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah. He's at war. Enemies are closing in. And it wasn't just one enemy. Lots of enemies are closing in on him. and he's seeking God, and he asks the nation, he says, pray and fast, pray and fast. It says, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. You read the story, the next day they gather. They're about to face their enemies. And Jehoshaphat reminds everyone, he says, have faith. Trust God. And then he appoints worshipers to lead the battle. Think about this. You're surrounded by enemies. The front line, you're the front line. They're singing praises to God. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. They're singing it. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. When you worship God, things look different. When you worship God, you actually realize that God is much bigger than your problem. And I know today some of you are afraid. You're overwhelmed. You're broken. You're hurt. You're disillusioned. And the question is, will you worship? I'm not saying it's easy, but will you worship? And here's the deal. Worship comes before transformation. When you're hurting, when you're bleeding, worship becomes an act of faith. It's a statement of trust that you believe God is bigger than whatever it is you're facing. And I'm here to tell you, victory is possible. And it probably doesn't even look like what you think it's going to look like. But you got to worship. You got to worship. This week, I just challenge you. If you got something that you're struggling with, you're hurting, not sure what the future holds, find a place and just worship. And see if you can't see hope. See if you can't connect with a God that's bigger than whatever it is that you think is impossible. Because I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. Not a few things. Not, oh, well, that, but not that. All things are possible with God. So let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And God, I know there are people that are hurting, disillusioned, frustrated, angry. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just whisper, this is the way. This is the way through. God, give the strength to just lift our head, lift our voice to you. And realize you're the answer. You're the solution. You hold the keys to setting us free. God, I thank you for the many times, and I know there are many here that would say the same, that you saw them through some dark days, got them through stuff they never thought they could get through. And we praise you for that. And God, I pray that we would share that with others. It's a way of giving hope. God, we thank you for your love, your grace. We thank you that you can see us through. I pray that we would honor you with all we say and do. We give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. We're going to share in communion. Again, if you didn't receive your element, raise your hand. The ushers will bring it to you. If you're a Christ follower, you're welcome at God's table. And you know, this is a reminder of how much God loved us, that Jesus came to this world and died for us. I mean, gave his life up. I mean, who does that? That's how great a God we serve. And so these become symbols of the body that was just beaten for us and the blood that was spilled to give us the freedom, to give us hope, to allow us to have a relationship with God. And so together as we take the wafer, Jesus said, take and eat, for it's my body. And likewise, he passed the cup to the disciples. And he reminded us that his blood was spilled to free us and cleanse us of all sin, so that we could have that relationship with God. He said, take and drink. God, we thank you for that love. We thank you for the opportunity to share in communion, to realize that we truly have a personal relationship with you. God, I pray that we would always remember that. And we would remember what it cost you, that Jesus gave up his life for us. That we'd never take it for granted or take it lightly. But we would realize how much you really do love us. God, I pray that you would bless each person here, that they would experience your presence each day, each moment. God, be with us this week. Put a hedge of protection around us and help us to be a light in a world that desperately, desperately needs it. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. May you go in peace. May the love, peace, and the power of God go with you.